this final hour. Dirt and Sprague, Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. I'm done at yelling parents, I promise.
No, I'll yell at parents that chose to...
I also feel like I'm on the right side of that argument, but that's okay.
You
know, I feel
like you said some very controversial things.
You know, sometimes people need to say controversial things. Sometimes people need to hear controversial things.
You ended up having a kid and still treading into the territory of, like, saying maybe the wrong thing out loud.
Two's enough, all right? I'm moving on.
I would argue at people that chose to go watch Toy Story 5.
Is that out now?
That came out this weekend. They made more money than they ever have.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Wow.
In an opening weekend.
I never saw 4. Was 4 any good?
I don't know if capitalism is ruined. Well, wow. I don't want to go extreme here.
Wow.
If we got into the mainstream of pop culture stuff, it has absolutely destroyed things that should not exist.
Mm.
It was a perfect trilogy. You don't even have to be a Pixar movie guy. You can be like, oh, I'm an adult. I don't watch that. Okay. All right. Cool. Revolutionary movie in 1995, Toy Story 1. Toy Story 2 comes out, fire. Probably better than the first one, in my opinion. And then the third one, you're like, how can you, Paul, my God.
They did it. The ending of that movie where he drops the toys off and the little girl's playing with them.
That's it.
He drives off.
It was
perfect. I mean, it's just the circle of life moment.
And they said, we made $1 billion. We have to make another $1 billion. Let's do a fourth one with Duke Kaboom. And a porcelain doll who can now move around her limbs.
Duke Kaboom?
It made no sense. Okay. It was a terrible... The actors themselves have said the fourth one basically didn't exist.
Yeah.
They've like... It's
like the Indiana Jones of trilogies where you just... We act like 4 never happened.
The crystal... Crystal what?
The trilogy stands
crystal
alone.
Crystal meth? It's a bad problem.
Those are aliens.
Wasn't a movie. Tell you that much.
Put the skull on the head. Look at that. It's going to take off.
Yeah, dude. Like, I love Woody Buzz. Like, come on. What are we doing here? The fifth one?
Fifth
one. They're going to make a sixth one now.
What are the reviews? Are the reviews good or bad for this one? Are we shaping up to be a good movie? Because there is at least a look pass angle for me if it ends up being a good movie. But if it's a cash grab and it sucks, like 4.
I think this one's better than 4, but it's all still a cash grab.
I mean, you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
Did they make Back to the Future 4?
Not yet.
Not yet.
No, they will
not. I've said it before. The entertainment industry now is just nostalgia. As soon as we wait 2 decades down the road, we can bring it back and start up again.
You're not wrong on that. Did you see the announcement? They're making a Sandlot TV show.
Right.
And they're using the Sandlot actors for their kids. So Patrick Reina, the guy who's come back into the forefront of our algorithms.
Yes.
He's on a Hershey's commercial now. Like he's funny. I don't think I got butt cracked. He basically said they have pilot ready to start.
And he's like the dad?
All the cast that's alive is coming back, and they're all
dads. To be the
parents
of the kids who are now playing in the Sandlot. So you have to base it when? It's sometime in the 70s, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't that technically in the 50s when the movie took place?
I think you're right. Yeah,
ballpark
I think you have
it?
That right.
Yeah.
And then you got to remember like, the one kid with glasses got into drugs. They never saw him again.
And Benny the Jet was a big leaguer. Is Benny the Jet still going to be around in his old neighborhood?
His kid's probably doing travel ball.
Yeah, he definitely is.
They started the travel ball trend.
He's an oven mitt kid. All righty. Well, let's get to a couple other things and an update on a storyline. Are you ready for the latest?
Yes.
Hang on!
I do appreciate Blazer fans that just giving in that nothing's going to happen. I don't blame you.
Is that the sentiment on Twitter right now?
I just, you know. It's early, but yeah.
Well, we have the latest update from Jake Fisher.
Oh, the Steinline.
The Steinline man himself, Jake Fisher, former friend of the program, who now wants us to pay him $100.
We can't afford Jake Fisher anymore.
He's above our pay grade.
Yes, he is.
He is claiming, now we had the report earlier today that a trade from Shams saying a trade for Giannis will happen before the NBA draft.
Which is tomorrow.
Does that mean today? Does that mean tonight? Does that mean tomorrow morning? Does that mean tomorrow afternoon? Who the hell knows? But he's saying before the draft begins, Giannis is going to get dealt.
Yeah.
Then we have the Windhorse report basically saying there are 2 finalists now and everybody else has been whittled down. It is Boston and it is Miami.
Correct.
Those are our 2 finalists.
Yep.
Jake Fisher, let's go ahead and throw another layer on this source cake. You ready? Saying that right now in Milwaukee, we have a split faction of Milwaukee decision makers. They cannot decide what they want to do. He is claiming they're deciding between Boston's package of Giannis built basically around Jaylen Brown, where the Bucks also hold particular interest in Hugo Gonzalez. Who the hell is Hugo Gonzalez?
He was a role guy for him. He actually had a decent little season for him.
Take your word for it. Or the idea of Miami's draft capital heavy offer of all of their draft picks plus Tyler Hero, Ware, and Jaime Jaquez, And they have a split internally right now between their decision makers of take Jaylen Brown or take the picks from Miami and likely three, you know, fine players, but nobody to the level of Jaylen Brown.
Well, Shams had the report, too, that if Milwaukee gets Jaylen Brown, now people are really going at Shams right now. Shams Charania, not Adrian Wojnarowski.
Not a fan favorite right now?
Well, people have not liked Shams for a long time, but now that Woj has, like, stepped out of the limelight as the lead insider and Shams has stepped in, he just has a lot of weird reporting. He's not actually close to as accurate as Woj.
No.
He's reporting, if you believe it, that Milwaukee, if they trade for Jaylen Brown, they're keeping Jaylen Brown. To which I would respond, yeah, I would too. I understand the whole you're not very good thing. I totally get it.
Yeah.
And you can make the argument from our vantage point of like why it would actually make sense to give us Jaylen Brown for fill in the blank. But I'm just a fundamental believer in I want good basketball players. Is that a hot take? Yeah, I can get my draft capital back. Sure. I also really like having a 27 point per game guy who can lead a team to a surprisingly great season and then trying to build around that instead of sucking for 4 to 5 years. Like, we're going on year six and we've only been a 7 seed and we lost in 5.
Yeah,
and I heard last week, I was told, yeah, but you know, you tore it down to the studs. We're going into year six when you're closing
in. We also never fully tore it down to the studs.
On a decade. I don't want to hear the excuses. Yeah. At some point, you need to start winning. And Jaylen Brown, even if they lost in the first round, he's a winning player. So I don't blame the Bucks if they end up keeping Jaylen Brown in all of this.
And I would also argue part of the problem we've had the last 6 years is that we never fully tore it down to the studs. We did like we left 4 studs left for some stupid reason and never had the worst record in the NBA to give ourselves the best shot. We were just a really bad team, just not quite bad enough. Jaylen Brown this year averaged, if you round up, 29 points per game. 7 rebounds, and 5 assists. 29, 7, and 5.
Hmm.
Pretty good.
That's not bad. Would you like that on your team?
He's 29 years old. I would like that on my team. It also, like, there's a layer of this that ends up really bad for Portland because, as we talked about earlier, the idea of not getting Giannis, I think, is something that we've all acknowledged. It always seemed far-fetched. We don't get nice things.
Mm-hmm.
Giannis is a pretty big fish to swim in our little pond. And if he's not willing to sign the extension, we can have the debate back and forth. Is it worth it to give up what it takes to get Giannis and then hope you win him over for a year? And I certainly understand that argument. I'm not saying it's a terrible idea.
Mm-hmm.
I also will acknowledge, I get the organization side of saying, it's a lot, and then he leaves in 1 year. We have no capital. Now we just have a big salary space, and we can't sign anybody in free agency.
Yeah.
So that doesn't really help us. Like, I see both legitimate sides of that argument. You could convince me either way on that. The idea of missing out on Giannis, not surprising. If Jaylen Brown is to get traded to Milwaukee and then they just hold on to him and it does not become a three-team trade, I mean, I would argue that hurts us in another way. Not only are we missing out on our two big fish of the offseason,
yep.
What does that make Milwaukee over the next 4 to 5 years?
Well,
better than they would be without Jaylen Brown.
They could pivot pretty quickly and like, at least be in the play-in or the bottom of the East,
like,
or not rise to the middle.
I'm not saying they're a title contender with Jaylen Brown and Miles Turner, right? I'd have to look at what else they have on the roster. But they'd be you could be a back end of the playoff Eastern Conference team next year and for the next couple of years. And if that's the case for Milwaukee, again, the odds have flattened a little bit. And so you can include some teams that don't win play-in games. I'm just saying that would be a dampening of the draft capital that you have for Milwaukee if that is not a part of the trade. And so I don't know what's a worst-case scenario for me. Jaylen Brown ending up in Milwaukee and them not moving him, or Jaylen Brown getting rerouted to a third team and we're not that third team and somebody else gives them the picks or whatever or steps in and gets that deal done and we're left on the outside looking.
Well, it also appears the reporting is coming out. Trey Murphy, Atlanta seems to be a real thing.
A lot of smoke there.
If Trey you are getting to a point very quickly where one trade happens – multiple are moved.
Yeah.
And before you know it, you look up and you're like, hey, our best offseason decision was to go get Domantas Sabonis, which in name recognition is not the worst, but from a team building standpoint, you have to evaluate the West, right? If I look at this from the East, I don't really understand why Miami's doing this.
Hmm.
I take the Zach Lowe approach. How good are they? If you're including
Bam and
all
Giannis.
These guys in your draft assets,
what
are you doing? Like, even if he is good Giannis, right? Almost great. What is that? Is that the best team in the East? Is that getting you through the East? I don't believe it would.
Probably not.
So Miami seems like they're doing this from a desperation, hey, we did something standpoint, because they largely have done nothing.
They've tried to get Dame, it didn't work out, and they have not been able to pivot since then. It's been the same team the last 3 or 4 years.
While touting how amazing their culture is, and then they end up in the play-in, and they lost this year. So I don't really understand that. From our vantage point, because we're not going to get Giannis, and I'm glad we're done talking about that part of it, but I am starting to look, okay, Dallas has hired a GM and now a hot commodity coach.
Mm-hmm.
We're the last team without a coach. Sean Hyken is reporting that he expects the team to hire a coach by the end of the week, which I'm like,
I don't know how you can have any expectations left, I guess would be my argument. Like, how all expectations
at this point
are out the window.
He's the one reporting, not me.
No. I'm just, I would have expected they made a hire 2 weeks ago.
I would have thought by today we'd be having a coach decision.
I would have expected a hire was made over the weekend. So I'm not expecting anything anymore.
Well, by the way, we have the draft tonight.
Tomorrow night.
And we're going to be off. So, like, tomorrow night is a very, and today and tomorrow are two huge days for the NBA. We're already seeing a little bit of movement, and now there's intel coming out. How involved in that are we?
Yeah.
And so I think I have to look at this from a multi-layered standpoint of evaluate what you're missing out on, evaluate what you hope they do, and then kind of evaluate what are they going to do and how's that going to stack you up against the rest of the West. It was nice to be a 7 seed. It was nice to be in the playoffs. We all acknowledge that.
Mm-hmm.
They took a good step.
Yeah.
You got to build on it. You can't just sit back and say, well, we added Dame off the Achilles and think that that's going to be amazing. Some people think it is, and I hope that they're right, but we need a clear shakeup of the roster. It cannot be run it back with paired that. And when you evaluate against the rest of the West, how much better is Dallas going to get?
Yes.
How much better is Utah going to get?
Right.
Sacramento sucks. New Orleans sucks.
Minnesota's not going anywhere.
Minnesota might be getting Giannis. They were the third team. Now it sounds like they're not, but they're clearly going to be an active team. So there's a lot of moving parts here in the West where you have to evaluate multi-layers of it. And one of them, for me, a big one, is going to be how we ended up stacking up in the West through the offseason. It's still early, but right now, there's not a lot of buzz for us.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean we won't be involved in stuff.
No, and that's the one thing I'm trying to remind myself internally of, that a lot of trades that have happened over the last however many years have not gone necessarily the way that we thought they were going to go, or in Portland's case, we just didn't see it coming, right? Like, you go back to the Dame saga. What did we talk about ad nauseum week after week, day after day, day after day? Was he's going to go to Miami. He's going to go to Miami. He's going to go to Miami. He wants to go to Miami. Why haven't they traded him to Miami?
Yeah, that was definitely a thing.
And then out of nowhere, it's like, oh, look at that. He got traded to the Bucks. Okay.
Yep.
The Anthony Simons trade last offseason. You know, everybody's thinking he's going to sign an extension and be around, and Ant Simons is going to be here forever. And then 24 hours later, he gets traded to Boston. You get Drew Holiday in the deal. And so there's been some surprising moves. That's the one thing I'm trying to remind myself of. I think there's a serious percentage of this fan base who is like-minded in the idea of being tired of that proverbial can getting kicked further down the road. And that it feels like for however many, checkpoints of being able to make a move or expecting something to happen, has it just simply turned into, well, it's not the deadline, it's the offseason. Well, it's not the offseason, it's the deadline.
Yeah.
Well, it's not the deadline, it's the offseason.
Yeah.
Well, it's not, and then it just,
yeah, if they do nothing, rinse, and you hear, wait for the deadline,
I just tell everybody to
serious.
Shut up, because all I heard of the deadline was wait for the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
And the offseason has not even begun yet, and so I don't want to sound too panicked and alarmed. We have no clue how this is going to shake out, and the trade might happen in 7 minutes and we get Jaylen Brown. I don't know.
Don't you think they've given us a valid reason to be a little, like, on edge?
Yes, because of the history. Now, this was, again, the one hope of you have a new owner who I think certainly wants to win. That's been a driving force for him, and their messaging since he came in and every press conference is, we're going to be aggressive. We got to go make a move. We got to be, we want to go after this thing. And so I think there's been an expectation for me, and I have not given up all hope of it, that this will be a bit of a firework off season and you get to see some stuff. I just think it becomes interesting, and this is the difficulty of trying to handle an off season. Like, I think clearly they came into the off season with the idea of Giannis is our northern star. If we can get him, that'd be, oh my God, who wouldn't want Giannis? Seems like that star is now faded. So then you pivot, and now it's, can we get Jaylen Brown, dude? Jaylen Brown in a deal, 3-team deal. God, that'd be great.
Yeah.
And if you get that announcement that he's staying in Milwaukee or shipped to a third team, or he's not traded in Milwaukee, he just stays in Boston, now that one's out the window.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just the idea of how far down the pecking order are you going to where it goes from a firework offseason to a sparkler offseason. And you're left saying, we tried, And we hear that same line. Well, we tried. Mm-hmm. We had an offer in place.
Yeah.
They asked for too much.
I do like hearing that.
And
like,
then we ended up with, you know, insert white guy here who can shoot 38% from three but won't
Kevin
play.
Kevin Herter!
And we'll act like we had a great offseason because
Duncan
he's on a cheap contract. Don't you know he's on a cheap contract?
Happy birthday, Veet Krejci.
Is it really Veet Krejci's birthday
today? I think
today?
Yesterday was his birthday.
Was it? Happy birthday, Veet.
Posted a happy birthday, Veet Krejci.
Is he still around? Is he still? I mean, I forgot he's got a good deal.
It's
so
the
he's
best
be
deal
around.
In the whole association.
Him and Denny ain't going nowhere. We got great team-friendly deals. That's the concern I have right now is if you don't get one of the big fish. The other guys that we're going to, you know, if the names start trickling down to the Anthony Davises or the Trey Murphys of the world.
Oh, Anthony Davis. Talk about a polarizing day on the show that's going to be.
Ooh, buddy.
You know, I was texting with somebody about Anthony Davis, and I said, because I was having an opinion about a conversation about Joe Cronin, and I'm like, you know, I totally get it. Super good dude. Like, if you talk to him at all, like, honestly, a kind individual that really wants to win. I do believe that. But the pressure cooker's turned up. This is the oven getting, it started at 8, all right? You cannot come to the offseason, and the move you made was Kevin Herter, Rob Will mid-level, Dame is healthy now. Like, that cannot be what your offseason is.
And then pretend that this is a win-now mode.
Exactly. I think if they do the Anthony Davis thing, it's going to be out of sheer, I'm hoping for the top end of this, and in name recognition alone, this is going to look good. And so I was debating with somebody about Davis, and they were basically like, Anthony Davis is an absolute no. And most of the fan base thinks, they think the fan base will say is a no. And I go, I agree with you. Counter though, that second game against the Kings when he has 25-13, the entire city is eating out of the palm of the hand. Here it goes. If we load manage this bad boy, if we get him to 50 games.
Dude, when you look at his numbers still.
When he plays, he's
when
an
he
impact
plays,
player.
He's an incredible player.
And it's, but see, look how quick that is. It's like, oh, God, he's on an expiring. He plays 30 games in a season.
Nah,
and
dude,
the
you're
minute
gonna get
he gets 25-13.
Nah, sense of urgency.
It's going to absolutely hit. You want to talk about crowd pops? The 35-14 game from Anthony Davis with two blocks, that's a crowd pop.
His last full season where he was able to, like last year he played 50, or 2 years ago I should say, the year he got traded to Dallas, he played 51 games. Last year he only played in 20. Obviously went to Washington and they weren't going to play him because they were a tanking team. It didn't make any sense. His last full season of playing and being healthy was 23-24. He played 76 games. So that's only 2 years ago. And he averaged 25 points, 12.6 rebounds, and 3.5 assists a game. He was first-team All-Defense, second-team All-NBA, and fourth in Defensive Player of the Year voting. Let me ask you this.
Also can't really shoot three, has one outlier season from the bubble.
Hey.
How did him and Donovan look?
33%.
Him and Donovan would be interesting.
Twin Towers?
Yeah.
Twin Towers.
To a certain extent.
If we acquired Anthony Davis right now, that came down. Boom. There's your announcement.
Yeah.
Where does he rank on our team in terms of, like, what is he, what player is he on our team?
What do you mean?
Is he our best player? Is he our second best player?
From a talent standpoint or like an actual you counting on him standpoint?
Either or.
A talent standpoint, he's easily number one.
Easily number one.
Like, easy.
Can you count on him standpoint? How many guys would you feel good counting on going into next season?
Who would
season?
Play more games, Rob Will or Anthony Davis?
Well, that's the other thing that I'm chuckling about is we finally had a Rob Will healthy season, and now it's like, give him the full mid-level. When for the first 3 years he was here, he played like 7 minutes in a basketball game.
I know, but to his credit, he stayed relatively healthy. We had to limit the back-to-back stuff and all that, but... He was good.
I'm not saying he's not good.
He was our best center in the playoffs.
Is he trustworthy from a health standpoint?
He was our best center in the playoffs.
That's not answering my question.
No. Okay. I would still feel nervous if they brought him back.
Okay.
But, and I'd same with Anthony Davis.
Yes.
But from a talent standpoint, Anthony Davis is your best player.
It's not even close.
No.
Not even close. Now, will he be that? Who knows? Because he might play in 7 games and then move on. But I digress. We'll get to a couple other notes out of the NBA.
Who's your second best player right now? If Denny's your first best player on the roster, who's your second best player right now?
That's a great question to linger on in the break, highlighting maybe why something big has to happen
like,
this
offseason. Would you bet it on Dame or bet it on somebody else?
I would probably bet it on Dame.
Betting on Dame's never been an awful choice
And it's not even necessary. Yeah. It's not even a full hope thing in Dame.
What does that say about Klingon?
Exactly. Let's get to an update on another storyline that came out this morning of a coach jumping to the NBA, and the replacement, at least for now, seems to be in place. And the NBA draft is tomorrow. Let's talk about that next, 105.1 FM, The Fam. All right, a couple thoughts here, and then we'll get an update on a big story that happened in the sports world this morning. Jordan chiming in. New York Jordan, as we call him, 503-864-6326. How much longer until the Twin Towers reference for two tall guys doesn't make sense to a majority of NBA fans? 24-year-olds never saw the buildings, which is a good point. Also,
I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory with 2 7-footers.
I mean, it is, but the Twin Towers was a, we called them Twin Towers because we had Twin Towers.
Or
that's where that came from.
Somebody was 5'8" reporting on the fact that there were 2 7-footers playing on the same team.
Have we had a Twin Tower since Robinson and Duncan?
Yeah. Yes.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, they weren't even the originals.
Who was the original Twin Towers?
Akeem and Ralph Sampson.
Oh, okay.
In the 80s.
They got
to the finals.
Couple of centers. Okay.
They were the OGs.
The OG Twin Towers.
Twin Towers,
okay.
Yeah.
I'll take your word for
and
it.
And then Duncan being, you know, one of the 5 to 6 best players of all time in NBA league history.
With David Robinson.
With David Robinson.
That big tower you, and a big tower.
That net you 2 championships.
They're twin together. Men. Did they win 2 together? I thought David was only on 1.
I'm pretty sure David was on the 0-2 one.
Okay.
And then he retired, and then I believe they won an 0-3.
I know they won a lot. I
won again
in
0-7 with Tony Parker.
Tony Parker!
And then won it in 2014.
Okay.
5 of them things.
Just an interesting thought of that. You know, I hadn't really thought about that yet. There are references. I do that every... September 11th is a weird one because we were old enough, obviously, to fully understand what was happening.
Well, okay, here's a...
And now it's being... Like, this will be the 26th anniversary? 25th anniversary?
25th.
25th. Quarter century.
Yeah. Oh, that's crazy.
That was a long time ago.
I was in high school.
It's the last time we were good at as a basketball team.
Lowercase was born.
That was the last time we had a legitimate shot at doing anything
that
in the NBA.
In high school.
Yeah, man. It's a long time ago. To his point, how much longer do we use that as the reference? 10 more years from now, you're going to have 35-year-olds?
Yeah, but like...
25-year-olds?
I also don't... Yeah. I understand where you're coming from on that question. I just think we're so accustomed to having multiple tall guys on a team that it's just a natural basketball term now.
Yeah, I was curious if we had any Twin Towers since then. Another one, bleep Anthony Davis. That does nothing to move the team forward. Side note, Danny's a B for backing out of the cargo short classic. Thank you.
Yeah, until that same person texts in when Anthony Davis is averaging 25 and 14
so
in
again,
a 3-game span.
I would love a follow-up here. Listener, if you're still listening, thank you. Question.
When he outdoes Jokic in a road game
oh, God,
in January,
you know when people are going to freak out, right?
You're going to lose your S.
So I certainly, again, understand the sentiment of being anti-Anthony Davis. This is why I asked the question in the last segment.
He is on expiring, by the way.
Yes, he is. You're going to get a motivated Anthony Davis. Now, does that matter? I don't know because he can't stay healthy.
Do I get Adrian Beltre type
right?
contract?
Contract year?
Do I get Chon Figgins motivated?
Chon Figgins. This is my follow-up, though. So I understand the sentiment of being anti-Anthony Davis.
I think a lot of people would.
If you miss out on Giannis and you miss out on Jaylen Brown, I'd imagine Anthony Davis, from everything we've heard, is third on their big board. Let's say that trade doesn't happen or somebody else wins Anthony Davis or gives a better deal.
Anthony Davis doesn't want to be in Washington.
He doesn't want. He wants out. That trade's going to happen, right? Like they're,
he's
going to
move somewhere.
Like that's going to take place.
Yeah.
So if you're a no on Anthony Davis,
yeah.
What other names exist in the realm of names that are realistically possible that moves the team forward?
Like moves the team forward is a debatable thing with Davis, but would you rather have Anthony Davis for a prove it year or Domantas Sabonis?
Anthony Davis.
Okay.
It's not even a thought in my head.
I think people would disagree with
There's not even a debate.
I think that's what's fun about this is that
I have a 6'7" power forward who's slow-footed in a bad defensive matchup, who doesn't really score the basketball at a high level.
He really is a center, but he has to play power
or forward. One of the most skilled big guys I've ever seen in the history of the NBA, motivated coming off of a couple of injury-riddled seasons.
Nice
on an
run
expiring contract.
Coming off the heels of a Kentucky guy helping you win a title in New York.
Right?
Let's keep the Kentucky momentum
right?
rolling.
Like, and maybe that for you was Trey Murphy, and that's fine. Trey Murphy's a very good player.
Sounds like he's going to the Hawks,
It does not seem like that will happen. And so I guess my follow-up would be, if it's a no on Anthony Davis, or do you just want him to run it back next year? If Anthony Davis doesn't move the needle enough.
I think there's some people that actually
just
think.
Just, what the hell, roll it back next year and see how it goes?
I think people believe in the idea of what Scoot showed at the end, especially in the playoffs before Dylan Harper.
The 30-point game or the 0-point game?
Well, the 0-point game was
That's
tough.
A no-countsies? Are we doing a no-countsies on the 0-point game? Only the 30-point game counts?
He wasn't quite in shape. he didn't get enough ramp-up time. But I, you know, I all jokes aside, I do believe there is a portion, not a big, I don't even, maybe it is, maybe it's bigger than I think. There's a portion of the fan base that legitimately thinks Scoot, Shea, Dame next year.
Three guard lineup, Andrew, four guard lineup.
Well, I just think they believe in the development of it all. Donovan will be better than he was this year.
Just like Anthony Simons is going to turn into the next Damian Lillard.
Make all the references and jokes you want, man. I do believe there is a faction
of
the fan base.
I know that they
exist. That would rather run it back than bring in Anthony Davis into this.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, look, the selling point for me on that idea would be you still have all those assets to play with. But again, it gets back to the frustration of, like, when then? Deadline? Next offseason? Now I got to wait another year?
Well, are you with me on the...
It just becomes a kick down the can down the road.
Are you with me on the tough part for Cronin and company is just the fact of I don't know how people are gauging the pick stuff.
Yes, I think that's very challenging.
It doesn't make it worthless. Certainly wouldn't go that far.
No.
But the idea that it was like it's all gold, I don't know if the whole league views it that way. And maybe they will when we make a trade, if we make a big trade, and then we can go, okay, the pick stuff netted this, this, and that. But if you keep whiffing on the big names that you appear to be going for, according to the reports, what is the next big name? And some of the NBA is that we don't know who the next big name is. That's the kind of the crazy part about the NBA.
Jalen and Giannis are unique that way, where there's been scuttlebutt around them. It quieted after Boston won the title, but that was even a debate before they won the title. Do you split them up? They can't get over the hump. How many conference finals did they go to until they finally won? Mm. So his name has been in trade chatter forever, and so has Giannis has been debated for five years. Right?
I mean,
like, it's gone forever for him.
For God's sake, just end it.
So yeah, to your point, maybe there's a surprise name, maybe there's a new one that comes out of nowhere and you still have the picks to go get that guy.
Well, I put up a poll question for this, our neighborhood restaurant group poll question of the day. Brings a fan poll question on Twitter. Dinner tonight, one of the five locations, San Diego's Big's Chicken, Reverend's Barbecue, 808 Hawaiian, and Lorehurst Market Steakhouse. I just put it up. We have a few up, but which player would you rather have next year in Portland? Anthony Davis or DeMontis Sabonis?
Okay. Well, I know where I'm voting on that one. You can go vote at Turton Sprague on Twitter. By the way, an update on a story from earlier. The big news out of the NBA today is we were all waiting the potential for a Giannis trade. ESPN threw up some breaking news graphics on us this morning and got us all hot and bothered. One of them was that Giannis is expected to be traded before the draft, which thanks for that, Tips. Mm-hmm. And then another one was actual breaking news, and that was that Dusty May, the head coach of Michigan who just won the national championship, is leaving to become the head coach of the Dallas Mavericks. Now, we talked about this, I want to say, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I brought it up in passing, mm-hmm. that Dallas was going to shoot for the moon after John Shire because he coached Cooper Flagg at Duke. That one never made any sense. Like, Duke is one of the best jobs in sports, I feel like. I think it's just a machine, and I wouldn't walk away from it.
Yeah, but it is his former player.
It is his former player. It's the NBA, like, and the amount of money the DuPonts can pass around, like, I'm sure these are massive amounts of dollar signs and zeros at the end of that contract that'll make you contemplate it. Well, they got Dusty May to take the job, and so now Michigan, who just won the national championship and steamrolled their way basically through, is left without a head coach. Pete Nakos is reporting, that I'm sure many others have had this as well, that they are going to promote Mike Boynton to their interim head coach at Michigan.
Yep.
Now, I don't know.
He has former experience, too.
And he was on the staff, so he's on the Michigan. He was one of the lead assistants on the Michigan staff. They're just promoting him to the interim head coach. And I'll be curious, like, do we think there's enough time to put a coach together right before next season, or do they go for a year with the interim tag and then wait for next cycle to make a hire?
I think you go for a year. I mean, the tough part for them is the next 15 days, the window for transfers is open.
Their window, you can now, if you're a Michigan player, you can transfer out because their coach left.
Remember, they have the guard coming back next year. They got like three or four guys from last year's title team coming back on top of what they've brought in.
Yeah.
If he's able to retain the talent, I mean, this might just be a Mitch Johnson Popovich situation in Michigan. They really like him there. He reportedly gets along. He's really good with players. He has some prior experience as a head coach. And if they keep humming along and the talent stays,
yeah, give him a year. See how
there
it goes.
Was no guarantee they're going to win the title again anyway, with or without Dusty May. But if they can be a serious threat next year who has a deep run and the talent stayed, do you need to look elsewhere?
No.
I don't think you do.
Not if it goes great this year. He's also going to be a lot cheaper than Dusty May.
Chris Herring had a really interesting thing that we know but we didn't think about. Mm. Literally the last two national championship teams for Michigan.
Lost their head coach.
Their head coach left immediately after.
Yeah, Jim Harbaugh and Dusty May.
Jim Harbaugh was kind of more forced out because, well, that was going to be ugly.
Yeah, no.
But, yeah. Dusty May choosing to go to Dallas this morning was quite the shocker.
Well, see, we don't have contract details on that. I imagine it will be a massive deal. The idea of college coaches in the NBA is always an interesting one. It's worked for some. It hasn't worked for others. So I do know Cooper Flagg will significantly help that effort. I'd love to have that guy on the Blazers roster. Let's wrap it up with a little peekaboo into the NBA draft. We are not here tomorrow. Tomorrow's the Fan Golf Classic out at Langdon Farms. Mm. So we will not have a show tomorrow. So we got a lot we got to try and cram into the last segment. Final thoughts on the trade chatter. The NBA draft is tomorrow. We'll wrap it up on a Monday next 105. 5-1 FM The Fam. All right, last one for us today. Will we jump on the air tomorrow because we've acquired Jaylen Brown? Time will tell. Time will tell. The NBA draft, though, is tomorrow. Now, there's a unique feeling around this because we're not involved. Do we have a second-round pick this year? Or did we trade one of those for Vit Krejci? Was that the Vit Krejci trade? So we don't get to watch Tuesday or Wednesday? I still chuckle at the NBA splitting this into 2 days as if anybody gives a rip about the second round of the draft.
Yeah, give me a second here. No picks.
So we have okay. Now, there's been rumors they might want to buy into the second round or something. You know, you go buy a second round pick. Teams will sell those. I don't think that does anything for anybody. So it's kind of unique where it's one of the more, from a talent standpoint, one of the more compelling drafts in a while, at least for me. Like, I know there's been some big names and big fish over the years, but the big three of Boozer, DeBonsa, and Peterson coming out.
Yeah.
Like, I'm excited to see that. Now, it's also, again, different because we're not involved and we don't have a pick. If we had the seventh overall pick in the draft, right, like, how much different is our chatter the last 2 weeks leading into tomorrow?
Right.
DeBonsa, as of now, I'm sure every sports book's going to have different odds on this. He's a minus 500 somewhere in that range to be the number one
overall
pick.
Has it gone up to 500?
I just pulled up FanDuel randomly because I just was looking for odds.
Yeah.
And it was the first one that showed up. It says minus 500 for him. Peterson plus 420. Boozer's the absolute long shot, plus 4,000. I think we would be head sewn to the carpet, shocked if anybody else other than those three were the number one overall pick.
Hmm.
But you're a big hoops guy, big draft guy. You watch a lot of college basketball this year.
Yeah.
Where's the excitement level for tomorrow and maybe the chaos that could unfold, including one of the best players in the draft not working out for a team who might take him second overall?
I think, that to me, I went and laid a bet actually last week. I probably could get better odds right now. I laid a bet on Darren Peterson being the number one pick.
Yeah, I'll see what it is on our draft.
I got it at 3-1. He was only working out for the Wizards and not wanting to work out for any of the other top teams. He also has a lot of red flags for people for his character, for the way the season went, the creatine thing. People, I don't know if that weighed for people.
Yeah.
DeBonsa is the overwhelming favorite. How is he not? He's a 6'9 freak wing that might be another version of Paul George. And if that's the case, I can't fault anybody for wanting to sign up for that. I think the uniqueness of Peterson, who is 6'5", with what some people think is a skilled version of, like, kind of a Kyrie comp at 6'5", and might just be a guy who did not want to play college basketball but kind of had to, I wouldn't blame them for taking that swing. The Trae Young stuff, they've already kind of hinted at wanting to lock up Trae Young to a short-term restructured deal, which is why he opted out.
Yes.
That would actually make sense with having Trae Young for a year and then maybe moving off of Trae Young as an expiring and then handing the reins to Darren Peterson. I find him a unique prospect. It's one of those rare, you don't need to actually have a hot take. You can say, I like all the top candidates.
They all seem like really good players.
Caleb Nobody Wilson's knows. Interesting when you watch some of his film, the athleticism, the size, like I see it. He also is not very gifted with the ball in his hands as a creator.
Hmm.
And in the NBA, that's a fascinating thing. Like, how does that translate? But I totally get it. The point guard runoff in the draft is going to be incredibly deep. There's like six of these dudes. I love Darius Acuff. It sounds like people think he's going to go to the Kings. But I'm really curious to see how he's going to shake out, I think, in the grand scheme. And who's going to trade out? Are the Clippers at 5 going to trade out? Or are they going to say, oh my God, we got handed this gift of a trade with the Pacers and it hit for us.
Right.
Let's take advantage of that. Well, the unfortunate nature is it's such a point guard heavy draft. Who do they take at 5? Is it Berries from Arizona? Because it's going to be a guard of some caliber, but they have right now Garland, Leonard's going to come back next year. We'll kind of wait and see on that. Right now, they still have Ben Mathurin. So, fascinating, like, a lot of different moving parts. Is Boozer go to Utah?
Do you think there's a chance we get a trade for number one?
No.
No, you don't think that's going to happen?
I think Washington's going to decide between DeBonsa and
If you're a Washington,
Peterson.
Would you consider it?
I mean, who's trading me? And why would they trade
Utah
me?
To guarantee that they could get DeBonsa.
Mm.
And with a future, I mean, I don't know how much you'd have to
a
give.
Future first.
It'd have to be a future first. Yeah, so I give you next year's first round pick, and you still have the number two overall pick in the draft.
No.
You wouldn't do it. You still wouldn't have your pick of the litter.
Why they would do that, because all of the intel is Utah, Ainge, DeBonsa.
I mean, they paid for him to go to BYU.
Did you see the report that came out? I think it was Thursday or Friday, and it was Utah's split. They don't know who to go with. I'm like, get out of here. Yeah. Try to make it sound like you're not all
if
in.
If DeBonsa's there, you were going to take DeBonsa. You just might not have the choice because he's the favorite to go number one.
But yeah, man, I laid a bet on Peterson. I think he's the most interesting prospect. I really do. Of all the players in this draft, and there is some damn good talent in this draft, he is the most fascinating one of all of them. Yeah. Because, man, if he hits, we are all going to go, how did he not get taken by X,
fill in the
Y,
blank.
And Z?
And Boozer might end up being the best player out of this, too, which is ironic about this draft class with how polished he was and how good he is.
He might have the highest floor. There's no doubt about it.
He might come in and be an immediate 2010 guy in the NBA and have an impact similar to what we've seen from some of these. Not that all of them can obviously do that. That's just what is unique about this draft. I'm excited to see how it shakes out. I also think there's a ton of value for guys in the back end of the top 10 that you're going to get. Guys like Acuff, who was awesome at Arkansas, man. Like, he could be coming in.
I love him.
Be a great scoring guard right away. And
that
so,
50 that 50 burger he dropped in,
yes.
I forget what game they were. Oh, it's the Alabama game.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Just a bucket.
He's elite, man. By the way, if you're looking at the odds on DraftKings, for whatever reason, FanDuel, maybe it's national market. Our market's different. DeBonsa's minus 425 to be the number one overall pick.
Up 25.
Slightly. Peterson plus 300.
Yeah, still 3-1.
Yeah, still 3-1. Boozer plus 2,800. Then obviously a big drop off. Number two pick, it's a little bit Peterson minus 140, Boozer plus 180.
Oh.
And then number three pick is Boozer minus 155, Peterson plus 230, Caleb Wilson plus 600.
We saw it last year with Utah, coincidentally. Ace Bailey did not have any interest in talking and seeing them.
Didn't matter.
Took him fifth anyway.
Don't matter, man.
They will draft Darren Peterson. If they love Peterson more than Boozer and DeBonsa goes one,
yeah, don't give a rip.
They will draft him anyway. I'm like, dude, coming to Utah. Welcome to Salt Lake.
It's the right call. Let's roll through our poll questions of the day, and then we'll have some Nostradamus questions to wrap up the show. Which duck are you more likely to claim first, Wyndham Clark or Dylan Brooks? Wyndham Clark, 61.9% of the vote.
Two majors versus no titles and poking bears and getting 40 dropped on your head.
Final Four versus golf. Should it be illegal for ESPN to put up breaking news graphics that just say Giannis will be traded soon? 90.4% of you say yes. What is the matter
shame
with the
on
rest
10%
of you?
Of you.
Dude, a lot of shame in the polls today,
that,
by the way.
That popped
a lot
up.
Of shame.
Yeah, there is a lot of shame in the polls today. The breaking news setup, by the way, like happened in the middle of the, I think, the 7 a.m., and I'm like, oh, my God, he's been traded.
It's
and then
happened.
It just said, we'll be traded soon. I'm like, come on.
Thank you, Tips.
What are we doing?
Do you believe the ceiling for the U.S. Men's World Cup team is the final? 64.5% of you are Patrick Harris wet blankets who say no.
Yeah.
I thought
Patrick
Harris is our captain.
He said no chance.
This communist is walking in here in a commercial break telling me we don't have a chance. I'm watching a dominant soccer run right now.
He said no chance.
He was also scared about Australia on Friday because we didn't have Pulisic. Come on, man. You can only choose one. Which song should be the USA sing-along after a World Cup win? Country Road, 68.8% over Living on a Prayer.
Really? Country
31.2.
Roads.
Do Something, Blazers, Please. Yes or no? 6.3% of people voted no.
Yeah, somebody
Why
made a good
would
point.
No?
Because Blazer fans are in, they're externally constantly worried that they're trading away Jermaine O'Neal. They will never get over that.
You can't move on from Shaden.
Let Shaden have a good highlight in Washington when we get AD. Oh, it'll be over. We've ruined our franchise.
And what player would you rather have on the Blazers next season, Anthony Davis or DeMontis Sabonis? Right now, 63.1% say Anthony Davis.
Wow.
Let's look into our Nostradamus ball. Do we get a Giannis trade before the end of the day? Or does
yes.
it happen tomorrow?
I say yes.
Yes, it happens today.
Dare I say yes.
Are we involved?
No.
Cool. That'll do it for us. Go check the podcast, 1051thefan.com. We might be somewhat on the air tomorrow if a trade goes down. Like,
yeah.
We have the capability to do it, but we, as of now, have no show planned because we're going to be out. Fan Golf Classic, So look forward to seeing all the listeners out at Langdon Farm today. We'll be on the sixth hole all day. Stop by, say hello. It's going to be a glorious day out there. And if a trade goes down, we will jump on the air and figure something out. I promise you. Thanks for being a part of our Monday, everybody. If you missed the show, go check the podcast. Thanks for watching on YouTube. We will talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. The Firm, Harrison Moring, is next. Listen to 105.1 FM The Fan.